Welcome into Uncovering Success. My name is Brady Slaybaugh. I'm stoked for today. But before we get into things, go give me a rating, leave me a review, like the podcast. There are some incredible interviews coming up that you are not going to want to miss, including today's. So today I had the chance to interview Isaac Mashman. Isaac is a businessman, podcast host, and public speaker. And over the span of several years and nearly dozen various business ideas, it was in 2020 that Isaac launched his company Mashman Ventures, which is a public relations firm that specializes in working with people who want to be followed, in demand, and respected to build their personal brands. Isaac's intention behind everything he does is to strive to live up to his potential, while both documenting and demonstrating that it is in fact possible to go from nothing to a whole lot of something. The nuggets and ideas Isaac has are all great, so let's get into it.
You don't set out to build a wall. You don't say, I'm going to build the biggest, baddest, greatest wall that's ever been built. You don't start there. You say, I'm going to lay this brick. Yeah. As perfectly as a brick can be laid. There will not be one brick on the face of the earth that's going to be laid better than this brick that I'm going to lay in this next 10 minutes. Yeah. And you do that every single day.
And soon you have a wall.
And soon you have a wall.
All right, Isaac. Well, I appreciate you joining me on Uncovering Success today. I'm super excited. I know you've got some incredible stuff and a lot of really good branding stuff. I know you've had kind of a big come up in the last few years. And so I'm excited to dive into it and see kind of why you had that and what's created that. So welcome to the show, Isaac. You want to introduce yourself a little bit?
Yeah, Brady, thank you for having me on, man. You know, a little bit about me. I've been in business since 2017. And I say in business, but I would rather like to use the term kind of trying a bunch of different things. I launched my first company in 2020, but got involved with entrepreneurship and the idea of, you know, running my own company while I was still a senior in high school. Up until that point, you know, I was going to school to get good grades. I'm not one of those entrepreneurs who can say that I was a DRF student. No, like I was going to school to literally go to college. Graduated top 10 of my class, like 4.44 weighted GPA. Like I was serious about it. I have one C in my life. And I just remember going through a difficult time. And I saw that there were these kids who were around my age, a little bit older, who were seeing success, who were making more money than my mom made. And I was like, man, why am I going to go to college? And money was a driving factor at that point. And, you know, I was going through some other difficult times. And looking back, I realized that it was more therapy for me than anything. And so over the span of a couple of years, I started building up my personal brand, but I was also trying a bunch of different business models. I got involved with half a dozen businesses in the span of 3 months or 3 years, rather, not 3 months. Managed an artist for 6 months, wanted to pursue a record label, started a clothing line, you know, did a little bit of coaching, did a little bit of media work. And what I was doing is I wasn't getting far in any of these different things, but I was learning and I was understanding what I was good at, what I could do, what I wanted to do, what I absolutely despised and hated. And just getting experience. And I was seeing my personal brand grow just as Isaac Mashman, somebody who was actually just building up a name, you know, not for one particular business model or one particular thing, but just for being me and being myself. And so I noticed, you know, towards the end of 2019, beginning of 2020, that was a business that other people needed. And so that's why I launched my public relations firm. And here we are.
Yeah, dude, that's awesome. And I think there's a lot of people that are kind of at the same age that we are and kind of have to go down two different paths. And like you're talking about, there's one path where you try a bunch of different things, see what you're good at and kind of go down that role. Or you get into a job, you get into a stable job and you're fine with that cushiony life for the rest of your life. Not too much risk, but there's also not a lot of upside in that. Can you kind of speak to that and why you were more adept to trying a whole bunch of different things, trying your own businesses, maybe your entrepreneurial mm-hmm. mind, compared to someone who just, like you said, was all in the academics, went to college, and then maybe gets a good job out of college.
Right. Well, you know, I personally didn't go down the college route afterwards, but I did hold two jobs. You know, I had two jobs. My first job was at Sonny's Barbecue, a barbecue joint, well-known chain in the South. And then I also worked at Publix, which is a grocery store, as an overnight stock clerk. And I only lasted 3 months. I didn't get fired. I just simply hated it. It got way too repetitive for me to do. And so I was like, you know what? I'm not exercising my brand. And I also don't like taking orders. You know, it's kind of ironic, though, because I'm naturally good at understanding orders and doing it, but I absolutely despise the process. And so, you know, I had the option of going to college, but everybody was telling me, hey, go to college, get a degree. But nobody told me what happened afterwards. What do you do with that degree? Because the people that I was closest to had college degrees, but they weren't putting it to use. They weren't putting it to work. Now, having that credibility, I mean, at the end of the day, it's personal development, right? I like to say that at the center of all achievement is personal growth. Going to college, you're increasing your valuation as an individual to the marketplace. Why would someone want to work with you, right? That's why a degree from Harvard is worth more than a degree from a community college. Now, I'm not saying that to be disrespectful, but to be truthful. And so I personally think that being comfortable and getting in a spot to where you have this cushion, it's the same thing with being comfortable with your body at a specific weight. You're not, you know, ripped and toned with muscle, but you're also not fat, and you're just kind of gliding by and living that mediocre average life. And personally, for the lifestyle that I'm trying to live and for the lives that I'm trying to change in the future, and just kind of, you know, I'm doing a lot of what I'm doing to set the example and to show that it is in fact possible to go from a relatively low point. You know, I don't come from a dirt poor household where, you know, we were sharing the room with 20 people and, you know, in the room of a bathroom. But I do remember going to school with Walmart shoes and just remembering that, like, this kind of sucks, you know, like it's not that there's anything wrong with Walmart shoes, but when you see kids wearing $200 pairs of Jordans and you're like, you see what is possible and then you realize how far away you are from it. But in actuality, you're more closer than you think. You're literally a decision away.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know that I talk a lot about failure and how important it is to fail and be okay with failure, but not necessarily to be comfortable with it. You still want to learn from it as you go and grow from it and use it for your next adventure. Can you kind of speak to that a little bit? Because I know you've had a lot of business ideas and, like, you talked about different things that you've tried. Where do you kind of reside on the idea of failure?
I like to avoid failure. Now, I know that sounds kind of ironic. Now, what I mean by avoiding failure is there's this quote. I don't know if it was Einstein who made the quote or some other philosopher or person, but the quote goes something like, you know, the fool doesn't learn from his mistakes. The smart person learns from his own mistakes, and the genius learns from the mistakes of others. And so the entire point of personal growth, and this goes back to me saying that at the center of all achievement is personal growth, is because if somebody else has already failed over the span of 20 years or 30 years or 40 years, or they already have the results, they have the experience, they're at the top of the top, then why wouldn't I want to learn from their experiences and not make the same mistakes and failures that they have made in the past? Now, in my own personal life, you can't prevent all failure, right? You can't. That's to be expected. But I've also come to embrace it, understand it, and kind of say, okay, this is what I learned from this, and this is how I'm going to lower the chances of it happening again. And you know, from there, man, it's like if you go and you're walking in the house and you keep stubbing your toe on the end table, you can either change the path of the where you're walking, right? So you're not stubbing your toe on the same piece of furniture, or you move the piece of furniture. You don't just keep stubbing your toe time after time after time again.
Yeah, dude, exactly. And I appreciate that idea too, because I feel like a lot of us don't risk what we know we can risk because we're scared of that failure. Mm-hmm. And we don't want that failure down the road, but like you said, if there's always going to be failure there, and I don't want to fail, but if I do fail, it's going to be okay because I'm going to learn from that and I'm going to keep growing. And I think it's important too, your personal growth. And I want you to kind of speak to that a little bit, because like you talked about, you see other people fail. And the only way you do that is by reading books, listening to podcasts, doing your research. How right. important has it been for you on the personal growth side of things? And where do you find a lot of that from?
Oh, vital. Like, honestly, without it, I wouldn't be on the path I'm on. You know, one of the first businesses that I got into was network marketing, right? And I got in and out of the industry, let's see, 4 different times in 3 different companies in the span of 2 years. And the one thing about network marketing and MLM was it got me introduced to the concept of money. And it also got me introduced to the concept of personal development, right? Understanding that there's more to life than just struggle and stagnancy and living your life, not even improving yourself, right? Most people go living day to day to where it's like, if something happens, then they're going to blow that little thing up and then they're not going to even learn from it. And they wonder why it happened to begin with. And I'm all about kind of mitigating that and preventing that mistake and, you know, preventing that thing from ever occurring in the first place. And so personal development's been huge. I don't have particular mentors that are physical, right? People that I know one-on-one who I have meetings with and conversations with. I haven't invested into one of those. I've had men and role models in the past who have played that kind of role. But then this, I kind of looking back realized that the men who I viewed were more as like a father figure to me, because a little known fact of my story is I've never, you know, I didn't grow with a biological father. Like, he was out of the picture. So I kind of looked at these men and these figures who were achieving success in different areas of their life as role models and as mentors. But when it comes to study, I find virtual mentors, and I find people who have the results that I want in life. And if I'm not comfortable switching places with you in that particular area that I'm trying to learn from, I will not learn from the individual. Like, I'm super arrogant in the way of, I'm not going to learn from somebody making $10,000 a month. I'm going to learn from the person making $1 million or $100,000. You know, I'm going for the top dogs, because at the end of the day, a lot of information is regurgitated down. It's second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth hand generation information. And that rhymes, but you think about it, man, you play telephone back in the day in school, right? You start with one sentence and you're like, the sentence is the cow jumped over the moon. And then by the end of when it gets to you and you're at the end of the room, the cow jumped over the moon turned into the pink unicorn drink Starbucks. Like, it's something entirely different. That's an outlandish example, but every single time that information gets passed down, it gets watered down, you know, just like ice in a drink. And so I find the people who have the results, you know, I'm big onto reading. You know, I have some books over here. Just got done reading Grant Cardone's The 10X Rule, reading U Squared by Price Pritchard. Fantastic book, man. And what was interesting is a lot of what he talked about in that book were concepts and ways of thinking that I was already adopting prior to even reading the book, because success leaves clues. And a lot of people and a lot of high performers operate in very similar ways. And they speak of the same things. They just use different words. But no, man, personal development has been vital, because if you were to talk to me 4 years ago, 5 years ago, when I was in my sophomore, junior year of high school, or even the beginning of my senior year of high school, I was completely different. You know, I was always that leader and always that confident kid in the sense of, hey, I'm going to, if the team members of my project aren't pulling their end, I'm going to end up doing it. But I was never that like entrepreneurial, like, let me go get it type of kid.
Yeah. And I think there's something to it where leaders and people that have always been kind of naturally a leader or naturally in charge have to be okay and humble enough with learning and seeking out guidance. And like you said, looking for those people that are doing what you already want to be doing. Was there kind of a point where you had to just be okay with asking for help?
Yeah, well, and let me digress for a second. You know, there were points in my life where, you know, I started a lawn business over the summer. Like, I had entrepreneurial tendencies, and you know, I was kind of that kid who I was always looking to kind of be a little bit different in that regard of doing things that kind of kept me entertained. But when it comes to like actually being able to get on a phone call and sell somebody or get, you know, be comfortable behind a camera, that kind of thing, I wasn't always that way. But when it comes to accepting and embracing help, it was understanding that I didn't know everything. Right. There's a point that is very humbling. It's a very humbling experience when you understand that there is more that you can learn. Right. Like, I can remember, you know, some of the first sales calls I was on, and I'm like, or even prior to getting them on a call, I just didn't know how to get them on a call. You know, I would send out three paragraphs to promote a product or to promote my company. And then they're like, okay, what is this kid doing? And then I understood that I wasn't getting results. And so because I was getting that lack thereof, I was like, okay, I can learn and I need to learn and put, you know, focus on this particular area of life. You know, think men especially, man, I'm sure that you could probably relate to this. It's like having emotions or crying or learning or not knowing it all is like looked down upon, right? I imagine some of the men in your life probably were jack of all trades. They wanted to fix everything around the house because they felt like if they paid somebody, they were less of a man, when in actuality, it's not about being less of a man. It's just simply allocating your time and allocating your resources. And it's the same exact thing when it comes to learning new skills.
Yeah. And being able to use that extra time for what you want and what you want to really get into. So I think that's awesome. I love that. What about with personal branding? I know that that's the current venture you're on and you're very successful in that. What do you feel like is one of the biggest things that people miss on? Whether they're using their personal brand for a business or they're just they're using it more naturally and in commonplace. What do you feel like people miss on a lot with personal branding?
Great question. And it's honestly not taking themselves seriously. You know, they still look like a mediocre person. And in order to really effectively brand yourself, I always work with the clients who are willing to be the best at the best of the best. Like they are the go-to people. And even if they're not to that point yet, we're still going to brand them in a way to where they are working to become that expert, to become that go-to individual. And so most people don't embrace the fact that it's okay to be super confident in where you're going in your direction, because they're like, oh, I can't really be that person. But you have to understand that all of these people who we study and we look to who have the results that we have, they started in a very similar place. They didn't know what they were doing, and they committed to their growth, they committed to their business, and they made it happen. So that's one thing. And the other thing is looking like everybody else. Now, I like to say that it's, you know, one of my biggest business philosophies is thinking outside of the box. What can you do that your competitors aren't doing? Or what websites, for example, especially for personal branding or company branding, what websites can you get on that other people might be on that most competitors or most people wouldn't take the time to even, you know, appear on? So to give you an example, the Better Business Bureau. People who are business owners, especially internet-based ventures, don't think about the BBB. I asked my grandmother, I was like, hey, grandma, do you know what the Better Business Bureau is? And she's like, yeah, I do, actually. And it's a reputable household name that is 100% free to get your company listed on, yet it boosts your credibility because it shows when somebody researches your company that you're on the Better Business Bureau and you have an A- rating or an A rating or even a B rating. But regardless, thinking outside of the box with your personal brands and also just committing and making the decision are some big, big things. You know, I always start with education and mindset before I go into the specifics. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one thing I've noticed is that with a lot of people that have done really well at branding themselves, or maybe they've become a prominent influencer, one of the things most of them talk about is that they didn't get to that position overnight. And it's not like they woke up one day and said something good and just blew up. A lot of them say, hey, this was a 2-year in the making, me working every day, putting out content every day. And so it was more of a 2-year overnight success. And I think a lot of people get caught up on that because they'll start putting out their own stuff, maybe making a little bit of content for a week or two, and it doesn't really go where they want it to or where they see other people's end result at. Do you kind of feel the same way with some of that stuff?
Yeah, well, man, you know, I've been very consistent with my content over the past couple of months, but it wasn't always that way. There were points where I was super consistent for a week or two and then I would drop off. You know, it was very cycle-like. And it was never me not doing content because I thought that it wouldn't take off or it wasn't performing as I expected, which is I was lazy. I didn't prioritize it and I was confused, right? And so once I got that clarity was when I was able to really start being consistent and start putting out more content and engaging with the right people and getting on the right podcasts. But people have to go into this with the understanding that it's going to take time. Even if you pay somebody like me to train you and to work with you and strategize your brand and give you insights on what platforms to get on, you're not going to be building your credibility and actually seeing results for, you know, 6 to 12 months. And then from there, you're still going to be building it up. You're still going to be working on it. And it's something that this is a beautiful thing about personal branding is there's always a higher level. Even Kim Kardashian, if she wanted to, she could get on every single talk show in America and even become a bigger celebrity than she already is. But again, she would have to make the decision to. It's right there. It's possible. And so to anybody who's not getting the results in a quick amount of time, I'd honestly say that you're probably not doing what you should be doing, right? You're marketing the same piece of content or content to the same 100 people. And these 100 people know your name, know who you are, and are getting value from you, but you're not having one-on-one relationships with them, or you're not talking to them, showing that you actually care and actually building a community and getting those people to share your content, getting those people to truly respect you. You know, a lot of people say blast and do content every single day, multiple times a day, taking the whole Gary Vaynerchuk influencer approach. But I don't see the point if you're not reaching new people, right? You have branding and you also have marketing, and marketing is all about scale. Branding is about credibility. And, you know, branding and marketing they're two separate things. And a lot of times people say that marketing is underneath branding, or some people, depending on who you talk to, would say that branding is underneath or that branding is above marketing, but they're brother and sister, right? How you brand yourself is how you market yourself, and it affects the relationship. You don't see Rolls Royce, you know, running television ads. or you don't see Rolls Royce, you know, promoting themselves for the Super Bowl, right? You watch the Super Bowl, you see Bud Light, Budweiser, Coors Light, and all these Doritos. Other brands for America. Yeah. But you don't see that those brands advertising at the PGA Tour, the Masters. You see Rolex, you see Calvin Klein, you see companies that have a higher brand equity, and that influences the way they market themselves. And so when you're building your brand, there's so many different, you know, tips and tricks and strategies, but just go into it understanding that it will take time, you know, and also about the effort. It's not about working harder, though. It is about working smarter. And that goes directly back to thinking outside of the box. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I completely agree. And let's stay here for just a second, because you mentioned relationships and how important it is to build those relationships and kind of start to create that community. And I think that's so true, whether it's personal branding or whether you're in a different business, a different venture, and you just have to continue to build those relationships, because you never know when they're going to come to fruition. So can you kind of give us your ideas on relationships and how important it is to build them, but also not building them just to build them, like building genuine relationships that are meaningful, that both sides are able to get something out of?
Yeah, you have to have an intention with what you do in life, not just in relationships. And when you're talking to somebody, what is the intention of getting on a phone call? And this is something I noticed I was doing too much of. I was getting on phone calls with a bunch of people that I would be able to give them value, but they're not people who would work with me. And it's like that was like I was giving more than I was receiving, or there was no balance in it. But when it comes to talking to people, you have to understand that, yes, it will be more time consuming, but it's going to pay off because you're laying down the foundation. A lot of people get consumed with the numbers. They see 100,000 followers on Instagram on an influencer page, or they see a business owner who has a million or a couple hundred thousand, you know, followers that have been building their brands for the past decade, you know, and you're 2 years into this or a year into this, and you're like, shit, I'm not there yet. And so stop paying attention to the numbers. Numbers do matter. Don't get me wrong. I will always tell you that numbers do matter, but the relationships are what will build those numbers over time. Let's say you talk to 100 new people every month, you develop genuine relationships, and then you provide value to those 100 people with the content you're producing. Every single one of those people shares your content with another friend. Your audience just doubled to 200. You do that again over a 30-day period, now it doubled to 400. You know, I talk about the power of three. You send out three new messages to three new people every single day. By the end of the month, you have 90 new people. You only have an audience size of 300. You get 90 new followers. You just grew your audience by 33%, 34%. Mm-hmm. From there, it's just about repetition. And you know, yes, it takes time, but you're meaning to tell me that if you were to do this for a year and get to 10,000 followers, that it wouldn't be worth your time, when even if you work with 1% of that audience, you're still going to be making, you know, working with 100 people, $1,000 a piece. You just made $100,000, and a year's worth of effort and building relationships isn't worth your time. You know what I'm saying? Going into it again, your perspective of where and how you start, it's vital.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the coolest things that's popped up recently with building relationships, and even the way that we met, was Clubhouse and that platform and what it's kind of become. So for those that don't know, Clubhouse it's a social media that's all audio. And essentially people can start their own rooms, bring in moderators, bring in speakers, and then you can hop from room to room and listen to these people, even come up on stage, ask questions, give your own input. How do you feel like Clubhouse is going to continue to grow, and what value do you think there is with Clubhouse?
This is when your intention is vital, because you have to have an intention and a reason for being on the platform, because most people are spending 8 hours a day building up an audience there, but they're not getting any results with it. So you have to understand that, hey, if I invest this amount of time, I'm going to be getting this amount of results in return. I personally love the platform, and I think it's going to be around. It was just a matter of time before an audio platform really took off. And I've seen a couple come and go. You know, there's this one platform a couple of years ago that it was audio only. It wasn't in like a voice chat room, but it was, you know, you sent audio messages on the feed. The platform ended up, you know, dissolving. So I was like, I was just waiting. And I actually had the name of the platform in my mind. I got the username, I got the domain. I was like, man, if I get a little bit more money, a little bit more time, I think I might make this platform happen. And I see Clubhouse, I'm like, sweet, somebody did it for me. I don't have to worry about it. Yeah. It's a personal branding machine. It honestly is, because every single time you join a room and you become one of the speakers, you're automatically viewed as an expert panelist because you're talking and everybody else is listening. So you're in a room with 200 people, there are only 15 panelists. You know, look at the ratio, it's a 1-to-10 ratio. And so every single audience member will be getting value from you and viewing you as that person worth following. That is the core of building up a brand from the ground up. That is it. That is how you establish reputation. And, you know, I was even able to close a client in Austria through Clubhouse. I just got done working with him the other day, man. And it wasn't like the most, you know, biggest client, but then I also made an introduction to another guy, and you know, that could potentially result in a 5-figure deal, you know, $10,000 training his company on personal branding and internal marketing structure of a company. So it's like, again, what are you doing this for? And are you going into it to give, or are you giving, going into it to take, right? Again, going back to relationships, there's a balance between giving and taking, and you should always give before you take. That's how those relationships strengthen, because if you come across as this overly aggressive marketer, then people will be able to sniff you out and they want to work with you.
That's one of the best things I love about Clubhouse, is how you have to be genuine. You have to be real and in it for the right reasons, because you see a lot of people on Instagram, TikTok, whatever it is that can be their best self for a minute and put that out there and use that. But with Clubhouse, you're in a room for 45 minutes, an hour, whatever it is, and people are listening to the real you talk for that time. And so if you're not genuine in your thoughts and your ideas and your relationship building, then people can sniff that out, especially with audio. You can hear it in their voice in whatever it is. How have you kind of come into contact with some of those people that you can just tell they're either fake or they're only on there to sell something?
Plenty of times, man. You know, this is the one time and the one platform that a guru that doesn't know a shit can be a guru. And you know, this is the truth, because if you're asking questions, you know, and you're not able to provide an answer for the field that you're in and for what you're talking about, then come on now. And a lot of the information too, I'm like, I'm a branding expert, I'm a PR expert, and they're answering these questions with the most basic of information that I could teach, you know, my niece, you know what I'm saying? And so I think that going into it and providing value is great, and actually demonstrating your expertise is great. And I've experienced a couple of people, and I'm not saying the names, but you know, I think about some of the people who I've done research on in the past week. I put 4 people on blast on my story the other day. I didn't list off their names, but they bought all of their followers, and they're naming the personal branding expert, and they have 150,000 followers, and they gained 50% plus of their audience in 1 week in 2019. Mm-hmm. And their brand is losing 2,700 every single week, or every single month rather.
And every post they have gets 75 likes for having 150,000 followers. Stuff like that is kind of obvious to tell what's going on there. So now to jump ship a little, I know you have big ideas for the future, and you're very keen on sticking to those. Where do you kind of land on goal setting and how important goal setting is for you?
That's something that has been a work in progress for me, because I was never the kind of kid to, you know, set goals. I had general ideas in my mind, but now that I've started to set goals for like yearly, and then maybe I have a general direction of what I'm working towards in the future, it's been working and paying off. So I set the goal of 24 podcast interviews by the end of 2021. And then I got on 6 podcast interviews the first 2 weeks of 2021. And I was like, this goal is too small. And so I tripled it to 72. Now that I'm keeping track, I actually have, you know, and this isn't about numbers. This is about numbers, but it isn't. It's about what value I can give, how much, you know, exposure I can get to my name, and how I can scale my brand to increase my impact. But, you know, I have a list right here of, you know, all the podcasts that I've been on, and it goes on for a couple of pages to where if I was to go to this page, you see that I have it listed to 72. You know, I'm acting as if I've already achieved it. You know, I don't know what person is going to take up that line in my notebook, but I know I will do it. And so goal setting is something that, you know, is powerful if you stick to them. If you don't stick to the goals, they're useless.
And it's really cool to kind of see that you set that first goal at 24. And I think where a lot of people get stuck is they set goals that they know they can reach and don't have to put a lot into. And for you, when you kind of saw that that goal was going to be too attainable, too easy for you. You decided to push yourself a little bit more. And so I want to definitely give you a big time shout out for that, because a lot of people, hey, I got six podcasts in the first few weeks. That means I get to kind of relax and take the next few months off and do a few here and there. But I mean, why do that? Why waste time? Why waste any day? Because it's a blessing to wake up every single day. And so why not give your all for that?
Absolutely. And, you know, I take a little bit more of aggressive approach when it comes to the way that I think and act, in the sense of, I don't think I deserve anything, you know, and some people would say that this is positive. Some people would say that I'm freaking psychopath for acting this way, or I'm too hard on myself. And maybe that's true. Not to the psychopath answer, but to the maybe I'm too hard on myself. But I honestly don't think I deserve anything unless I work for it, you know, and it's like doing this. I'm not about to hit 24 podcasts and have, you know, I could do that in the first quarter. You know, by the end of March, I'll probably have about 14 to 16 interviews that I've done. You know, I'm doing six a month. And then what? I hit 24 and I take the other 8 months off. Like, no, this is a progressive series of actions that add up over time. And that's how you hit momentum. You don't hit momentum and you get 24 podcasts done. You're like, all right, my goal's set and I'm good for 2022. And then you lose all of that momentum. And so what's going to end up happening is, by me sticking to this, I'm going to be on 72 podcasts, and then I'll be able to get on a higher level show. I'll be able to get on a higher tier show. And then my brand will continue growing in momentum. If I was to stop at 24, none of that compound effect would take place.
And that's why I love your mindset on that too, because I mean, I know with your mindset, you're going to hit 72, but if for some reason you wouldn't, and let's say you only hit 60, even like you're giving your all and you're able to hit 60 and maybe you fall a little bit short, 60 is still a lot more than that first 24 you had. And if you would have stopped at 24 and didn't push yourself, you would be sitting at 24 instead of 60, even though you didn't hit your goal. Now you did 60 this year, and then maybe you up that goal for next year. So continuing to set those even sometimes unattainable goals are so valuable, because, and that's like Grant Cardone talks about with the 10X rule, is if I, let's say I want to buy a house this year, well, why don't I try to buy 10 houses and get the process rolling there? And maybe I only buy five houses this year. That's still five times the amount of houses I thought I was going to buy. So to wrap up here, a couple of the questions that I always ask people. Number one is, what book or books have impacted you the most or given you the most value that you would recommend to my audience, people our age?
Number one is Think and Grow Rich, you know, Napoleon Hill. Mm-hmm. Some people argue against his credibility, but the concepts in the book stand true. That's really just the thinking aspect. And, you know, a lot of information that I've learned it really didn't help me at the time. But then down the road, a year goes by and I'm like, all of a sudden I'm having a conversation and that one thing I read comes up in my mind, or I understand that the subconscious mind really picked up on more than I understood at the time, right? So the concept of decision-making is something I heard from a lot of my mentors. They're like, make the decision. And it hit me a couple weeks ago that I made the decision. And that's why my results have been bigger than the people who didn't make the decision, who I met a couple years ago. So Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. This isn't a book, but I would also say that there are audios by Earl Nightingale and Napoleon Hill himself on SoundCloud that you can find. Go find those audios, download them, and, you know, pirate. I'm not going to say pirate them, but like download them from SoundCloud, you know what I'm saying, and save them so you keep those forever. The Way of the Wolf, Jordan Belfort, The Straight Line Method. He talks about that. That book completely changed my life when it comes to sales. It puts sales in a systematic way of doing things. I also read Rich Dad and Poor Dad. That was one of those books that was like a stereotypical book that every entrepreneur recommends. But one that isn't stereotypical is, give me a second, I'm about to grab it, Sam Walton's Made in America. Now, this book is like 300 pages long, and Sam Walton was the founder of Walmart. And he was dying of cancer in the 90s. And so he's like, his kids were like, you need to go ahead and make an autobiography or biography of your life, sharing your skills and your talents and, you know, the lessons that you've learned. And so he put this book together. One of the most successful men of his time and of all time, arguably, literally gave you the blueprint in this book. And so that was tremendous. So Sam Walton, Sweet. Made in America. Then you have
Think and Grow Rich. Sure.
Yep. And then Way of the Wolf. Those are top three right there.
That's awesome. I appreciate that. And the last question I like to ask that I think is so important and the reason I'm on this journey is what to you does success mean? And maybe when you get to the end of your life and you look back that you're able to say, man, I was successful in this life and I lived a life of success.
Live up to my potential. That is also my purpose. But I would argue that that is my definition of success because that means I'm consistently working towards something more. There, even if I hit a new level, there's another level that I can obtain afterwards. And I would honestly say that is what success means to me. And that covers all areas of life from health, physical health, mental health, emotional health, to relationships, to money, right? Being able to live a better life of freedom. And even once I get to that level, I can make more money to give back. You know, the impact scales. I don't have to worry about being some horrible human being. You know, like I know who I am. And so the more money I get, then I know the more good I'm going to be able to do to the world. And so that's ultimately what success means, to live up to my potential.
That's sweet. That's one that I haven't heard on here before. So that's definitely a unique perspective and I appreciate it. I also appreciate the time today. You've given my audience some great nuggets that I hope people were taking notes on and we can definitely take to heart and begin to input in our own lives and our own branding. Where can people find you on social media? What are your tags? Where can we go follow you at?
You can find me literally everywhere at Isaac Mashman, ISAACMASHMAN. You know, in the business of personal branding, I need to be able to be found easy. So you can also go to my website, isaacmashman.com. You know, I do have another podcast called Chase the Vision with Isaac Mashman available everywhere. Brady, it's been an absolute honor, brother. I am truly grateful to be on.
Give a quick shout out to your podcast. What's your podcast, Chase the Vision? What do you kind of talk about on there?
Yeah, it's basically a platform for me to share all of my experiences and knowledge in business life and personal growth. You know, going back to me being a believer in personal growth, I have experiences that people can learn from, you know, and if I'm able to share that, help you save time, help you cut time frames and get to your results and get to where you want to go quicker, then I'm doing something good in the world.
Absolutely, Isaac. I appreciate it. This has been fun. And I look forward to following you on your journey of uncovering success.
Absolutely, brother.
You just heard my interview with Isaac Mashman. Be sure to go follow him on social media. He's always got some great stuff, some great nuggets for everyone. Hope you all have a great week, and thank you for coming along with me on my journey of uncovering success.